and welcome to Infotech Research Group's monthly threat landscape briefing. We use these briefings to cover current topics related to cybersecurity, such as threat actor campaigns, regulatory compliance and legal issues, and exploitation methods and tactics being used by today's cybercriminals. For this month's briefing, we start with senior research analyst Cassandra Cooper regarding a large-scale cyber attack on a London borough. Then we hear from research analyst Logan Rohde about the reality of COVID-themed attacks occurring in Canada. Finally, we hear from research specialist Isaac Kinsella about a Microsoft report on the evolution of cyber threats. Without further ado, let's begin.
On October 13th, Hackney Council's Mayor Philip Glanville notified citizens via the East London Borough's Twitter account that the council had been subject to a large-scale cyber attack, the primary fallout of which involved disruption to the many services provided by the council. This included disruption to both legacy systems involved in key data processing activities for the council, as well as applications including One Account, which offers a secure portal for Hackney residents to access payment services for things like council tax, reporting of housing repairs if the citizens are living in council housing, and for individuals to apply for housing benefits. While the move to online services has long since been the norm for municipal and local governments, its reliability has become especially important in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic. Many of the council services were still unavailable or experiencing significant delays in operation days and even weeks following the initial announcement of the attack, leaving individuals unable to access necessary payment services to assist them in covering all of their housing costs. Glanville announced immediately following the attack that the council was working closely with both the UK National Cybersecurity Centre, as well as the National Crime Agency and the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government, as well as a host of other external third parties to try and remediate the situation and reduce the attack's overall impact. The UK's Data Protection Authority, the Information Commissioner's Office, or the ICO, has also been brought in to help understand the risk factor with respect to any infringement on the personal data of Hackney residents. Reporting incidents to the ICO is a requirement of the GDPR in helping to ensure personal data is kept safe and that any breaches are reported and noted. So why Hackney? Municipal and local governance may not seem to be an obvious target when we think of major cyber attacks, but this misconception has been proven false in recent times. We've seen a significant uptake in the number of public sector government targets for cyber breaches, attacks, and any large-scale incidents. A study published in 2018 by Malwarebytes cited that over 3/4 of municipal governments had been subject to a cyber attack in the past year alone, with one of the main vectors cited as phishing. Half of these same respondents had been victims of ransomware attacks, which is actually the suspected culprit or type of attack of the October 13th Hackney Council cyber attack, though this has still not yet been confirmed. Government entities and organizations at any level, from municipal through to federal, play host to large volumes of personal data, and as such are prime targets for cyber attacks of many different types and flavors. Outdated infrastructure or lack of resourcing around cybersecurity standards and improvement initiatives can contribute to these organizations succumbing to malicious attacks. Government entities need to take a more proactive approach to cybersecurity, even without the addition of resourcing or new cyber vendors to the mix. Much of this can be done by optimizing and aligning the current security strategy with the organization's objectives, and identifying areas for potential exploitation, and then focusing on increasing capabilities and awareness of staff. Some key steps to take include protecting against insider threat through effective security awareness and training for all employees and staff, even contractors, validating appropriate baseline security standards of any vendors or third parties used, as well as regular performance of vendor risk assessments, and finally, preparing the organization's incident response plan should an incident occur. This would include creating and updating detailed runbooks, workflows, and remediation plans to ensure that services can get up and running with minimal disruption and minimal downtime. Cyber attacks are increasingly prevalent and are no longer the problem solely of those large companies in the private sector. Awareness and preventative measures are the first steps in attempting to minimize the impact of the inevitable.
A well-known fact of cybercrime is that those who perpetrate it seek the greatest reward for the least amount of effort, which often takes the form of trying to trick unsuspecting end users into surrendering sensitive data. And the more believable the attacker's premise, the higher the chance of success. So, when a global event, like a pandemic, has everyone on edge, cybercriminals are bound to try and exploit that feeling of vulnerability to try to lure people into their trap. And this is exactly what's happening. More than 1/4 of respondents to the CIRA study have reported receiving some type of attack that attempted to use COVID as cover, and it's not limited to phishing. Malicious emails and attachments, as well as fraudulent websites, have also been used. This seems to be having an effect on the volume of data breaches in Canada, which, incidentally, people are reporting less frequently than they were last year. It's not clear that this decline in regulatory reporting is due to a decision to accept such risks or because the pandemic has forced security teams into firefighter mode and it's simply falling by the wayside. However, it is not that security teams have failed to respond to this issue. Many organizations have reported developing new policies and other controls, like VPNs, to try to combat some of the added risk that has accompanied the massive shift to remote working. What we are seeing in terms of the negative statistics around breaches and attacks would seem to reflect more so the challenges of trying to secure a network that you don't control. So, how do we respond? My advice would be the following: get good at governance to get ahead. Securing a remote working environment can be difficult for even the most talented InfoSec professionals. The fact of the matter is, there are only so many techniques you can use to lower risks on a network you don't control. The response, then, needs to be strong security governance. As the CIRA stats show, policy development was one of the most common techniques used to try and mitigate risks associated with working from home. However, governance isn't just about writing policies. Policies are documents that lay out the expectations we have about how a task will be completed. These expectations, though, cannot be created in a vacuum. They need to be rooted in risk tolerance and mitigation decisions jointly made by security and the business. Moreover, these expectations need to be supported by efforts both to encourage compliance and to track it. Excellent choices here are at least monthly training and awareness sessions, as well as metrics around policy violations and associated issues. Together, these tactics can help you gauge the efficacy and practicality of your controls. If there are consistent issues, it may be a sign that control adjustments are needed.
Microsoft reporting shows the evolution of cyber threats. COVID and other socially timed attacks look to become the new norm. The trend of worrying about tech news continues. A report by Microsoft documents the increase in the intelligence of criminal attacks in cyberspace. Traditional well-established tactics are evolving beyond just phishing and social engineering. Timed attacks linked to world events have become a new norm, with both the presidential election and COVID-19 as social primers for cyber attackers to slip past security measures and catch people unaware. While in the past, cyber criminals would tend to focus primarily on malware attacks, more recent events have seen a sharp rise in phishing attacks by over 70% in the last year. The top spoofed brands being emails coming from Microsoft, UPS, Amazon, Apple, and Zoom, all of which have respectively risen in use with work from home and more ordering of products to houses. Nation states have also seen an increase in their malicious activity in tandem with COVID-19. 16 different nation states were either targeting customers in COVID-19 response efforts or using the crisis as a medium through which to attempt to phish for credentials or to deliver malware. Healthcare in particular has been heavily targeted with interests in vaccine research. The approaches may be more sophisticated, but so are you. The use of COVID and even the presidential elections in the United States shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone who's been paying attention. Cyber attackers have always looked for unique avenues to gain an advantage in their social engineering strategies. In tandem with work from home security has become a lot more reliant on people as human malware and phishing sensors. The traditional organization security policies which protected eager clickers cannot always be expanded to remote work. Given the frequency of the passwords that have either been brute forced or successfully phished in Microsoft's report, the human element of security needs to be re-examined. At this point in the remote work game, multi-factor authentication has become essential to ensure that even the worst of the eager clickers may not inadvertently become a single point of failure. Examine your organization for the security measures that you have in place and consider refreshing security training with staff to keep it top of mind. Finally, take things slow. Have a healthy skepticism of emails and communications that are coming your way. Nobody's going to bat an eye if you take an extra 10 seconds to scrutinize an email, but I doubt they'll be as forgiving if your credentials are used to gain access to a network. The same goes for text messages and deliveries. If you don't know, don't click. COVID has presented a new alternative path for cyber attackers to circumvent network firewalls and other safety measures, allowing them to go right for the source, the end users. In part, this explains the specific nation-based targeting of healthcare resourcing. Any sort of intellectual edge in the production of a vaccine will undoubtedly lead to political and financial gain to whoever can develop the first successful vaccine against COVID. Hence, the increase in healthcare espionage.
This concludes this month's briefing. If you have any questions about what you've heard, want to learn more, or need any support, please do not hesitate to contact us and set up an analyst call. Thank you, and see you next month.